Is that my special cue to go? Boy, it's loud in here, Mr. Producer. Hi, and welcome. This is, welcome to a very, very, very special, special show of Sex Talk. I am your host, DJ Seco. You know, I mean, there are a lot of Hollywood celebrities that are going by this kind of abbreviation. Jennifer Lopez, obviously, J-Lo, that sports guy, J.K. Rowling. No, that's
no, that's an author.
yeah, that's a children's
But who am I talking about? Like, smooth E.E. Cummings?
Harry Potter, H. Poe.
Yeah, H. Poe. I like that.
He's very anally erotic.
You're jumping
the gun here.
I'm trying to.
We're building up suspense.
You've tuned in, perhaps accidentally, perhaps due to fate, to Sex Talk. This is our 1,000th episode. I just counted, and I want to thank you all for being here. We've got guests old and new. We've got Juan.
Hello.
He's a longtime friend of the show and founder of the show. Gone on to bigger and better things. And our special guests.
There's nothing bigger than this show.
Well, that's because I keep you tied up in my basement. Special guest Mike and I can't remember your name.
Lillian.
Mike and Lillian, thank you so much for joining us. Actually, tonight we have a very, very special show. What we are fusing.
Before it was four varies. Now it's gone down to two. Are you? Is the balloon coming off the road?
I think I have some kind of issues. The putative title of tonight's show is Straight Male Anal Eroticism. Sort of a fusion of, you know, of the worlds of masculinity and anality.
Passivity, receptivity.
And, you know, interestingly, I mean, actually, I like, as I do in my weekly therapy sessions, I like to look for themes and sort of threads that run along different areas of my life. And so tonight I would like to talk about anal eroticism, but also purchase from Amazon.com, How to Goodbye Depression If You Constrict Anus 100 Times Every Day.
Malarkey, you got this book.
Malarkey, wow. Or Effective Way. This, of course, is the red-hot bestseller
You're reading this from the cover of the book?
Yes, this is the red-hot bestseller by Hiroyuki Nishigaki.
This is a famous book. Well, famous among the people who've heard of it.
And
how many constrictions did
100. It? I think constricting anus 100 times and denting navel 100 times in succession every day is effective to goodbye depression and take back youth.
Denting.
How do you dent your navel?
Well, you have to read the book. I have known a 70-year-old man who has practiced it for 20 years. As a result, he has good complexion and has grown 20 years younger.
Does that mean he's
90, right.
Or has he maintained the same?
Well, I'm sure that's revealed.
Look, if you don't know that concentration can give you peculiar pleasure, your life looks like a hell. So, How to Goodbye Depression.
Translated from the
Nishigaki,
Japanese.
Amazon.com. I'm going to bring together these two fields: therapeutic anal constriction.
For those of us who have no other anal erotic outlet, this is we can always do this.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's a good way. If you're curious about your anus, you could read this book and realize it has both therapeutic anti-depression benefits as well as erotic benefits. So, Lurleen, I'd like to start with you.
Okay, well, I think it's very interesting that you were sort of snickering there when you were talking about straight male anal eroticism, as if you think that this is extraordinary, unusual, or...
Well, it fascinates me. I mean, indeed, anal eroticism is associated with the homosexual community. I mean, you know. And so, I mean, aren't you worried that... I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself already, but I think if I were a woman and I had a straight boyfriend and he wanted me to, like, do him up the butt, I would think, my boyfriend might be gay.
Big closet case.
I would consider that a threat.
Right. No, actually, I think that's very interesting. And certainly for me, I've never had anyone outright ask me...
Baby, take me from behind
with a strap on. I've sort of come to an understanding of male anal eroticism sort of by very gradual steps. And I must admit that the first boyfriend with whom we started manually touching, just sort of touching around the outside of the anus. You know, there's this sort of perineum thing they talk about, and then you go a bit lower.
The taint for our viewers at home.
The taint.
Because it taint butthole and it taint, you know.
Okay, right, the taint.
So what is the perineum that you're...
Oh, the perineum. So this, I mean, you can read about this in women's magazines, Cosmopolitan. That's the area between...
I read Cosmo.
Men have them.
They usually don't get that explicit.
Between the scrotum and the
anus. Light candles or something.
Oh, where the... Right.
There's sort of a fleshy kind of area. And, you know, if you're supposed to press that...
Right below the prostate.
Yep. Right, press that when he's coming, or press that... and, you know, it'll show him a good time. So I'd heard of that. And then I, you know, sort of went a little lower one time, and it seemed to be kind of well received. And I must admit, at that time, I did wonder about the man, whether he was... He was also a very flirtatious guy, and so I did wonder, you know, how straight this guy was.
Flirtatious with other men?
With other men,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. So this is your first experience?
That was
and so did this turn you off of the idea? Did it?
I was kind of neutral about it. I guess I thought that if he liked it, then, you know, it would be sort of an interesting thing. And then I
have to stop you already.
Yeah.
I'm mesmerized by your candy bracelet, by the way. But I have to stop you already. I mean, like...
It came free with a drink at Hemingway's.
Oh, interesting. Hemingway's is actually the official bar, and
it's a roofie
gathering.
Yeah, it might seem like a very serious place, but it's actually where most of our research takes place.
So when you say, I mean, actually just one little detail of this. So when you say that it was very well received, what do you actually mean? Like, having sex with your boyfriend, you're like, I mean, the taint area doesn't really do much for me, you know, the taint qua taint. But
it's what works beneath.
Did you moan with pleasure? Did he say, oh, you know,
Daddy?
Did he say, oh, Rocky, you know, I'm so glad you came into my cell tonight? I mean, were you, like, deep into some kind of fantasy? We're like...
No, it really wasn't so explicit, so moaning kind of thing. But, I mean, and you actually, on the premium, you do have to kind of press a little bit to get much of a reaction. But just there was this sort of sensation that he was into that and more would be appreciated.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let me... put in my two cents here, which is, you know, I'm somewhat offended by the you know, all these, just be, so, right, you know, all these straight, I've got, I'm basically a straight man, right, and, you know, I see my gay male friends having anal sex and liking it, right, and I figure, you know, presumably they like it not because it's, they're gay, but because it feels good.
And right. What sauce for the goose is sauce for the
gander. Yeah, if it feels good for them, it's probably going to feel good for me.
We have the same equipment.
And I remember asking a straight man once, why anal sex could be pleasurable. I sort of couldn't imagine, you know, what could possibly be interesting about it at the time. And he said, well, look, think about how much pleasure there is in shitting.
Over again.
He said, think about how much pleasure there is when you...
Over again.
He said, think about how much pleasure there is when you...
Excrete.
Number two.
Yeah.
How do we say that? When you excrete feces, yeah. And at the time, I didn't really appreciate that either until I got thinking about the prostate. Because I've heard men say that they really find that pleasurable.
Well, pleasurable in the sense like a good stretch or good scratch is pleasurable, I would say. Like, yeah, I don't know if that particular argument would be persuasive to me if my girlfriend was standing there with a, you know, 9-inch hog leg strapped around her and a bucket of lube, you know.
Bucket.
I'm up. A small hand container. I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to. Right. I want to give like equal respect to all points of view here. But I mean, I've heard that before, and it's a little bit weak. I mean, I don't think. I mean, because I have had both, like, you know, giant men's penises jammed up my
hoo-ha.
And I've also, you know, defecated, you know, probably maybe tens of thousands of times, and they really aren't that comparable. I mean, one is, you know, I think anal sex is extraordinarily pleasurable, and, you know, defecation is kind of
defecation
more...
Defecation is quite
duty.
Pleasurable, I think. That was a good argument that...
Well,
your
when you're one of these
made.
Europeans that's, like, totally in touch with their bodies. I mean, I'm an uptight American, right? I mean...
You never read stories about,
well,
like, you know,
the
how
more uptight you are, the better, I think.
So many stories about
you're not going to the right website, my friend. In fact, I believe, Mr... You keep talking.
Okay.
Nishigashi has a point about defecation.
In fact, I would urge you to go to German websites specifically. For some reason, the Germans have kind of cornered the market on poo play.
But I guess the point to be made here is just that
right.
There are, even without sort of getting involved with, you know, beginner's play like carrots and zucchinis, there's...
Whoa, I think a zucchini is well beyond intermediate into, like, advanced.
So
we grew zucchinis, and they got to be the size of, like, pets.
So I think the point is just that there are you can get sort of an impression that there's, you know, sensitive nerve endings that might give pleasure even before actually trying anything that you might think is associated with homosexuality or anal sexuality.
I'm surprised you needed to be convinced that there was pleasure in anything anal. You didn't have any experience?
Well, no. I mean, at that time, I had no experience.
Okay.
And then, so a little later then, I mean, so with this guy, you know, you'd sort of touch around his asshole and he...
You're such a potty mouth.
Okay. I, the intent of these comments is not. You should try to be more considerate of those who are offended by such words.
Okay,
yes.
Get your mouth out of the gutter.
You should try to be more considerate of those who are offended by such words.
Okay,
yes.
Get your mouth out of the gutter. I will cleanse our listeners by greeting them a quote from Mr. Hirohiki Nishigaki, who says, if some people try to constrict anus 100 times and dent navel 100 times every day, in addition to drink a cup of water, so as soon as they do a bowel movement 6 times every day, begin to be able to have peculiar, happy, lucky, good complexion, good bowel movement, good appetite, good sex, good sleeping, soft shoulder, little by little in a month or
soft
a few
shoulder.
Months, begin to confirm the effect and can graduate from the University of Depression a year later without failing the test.
I'm convinced.
So, please proceed.
Good bowel movements.
So little mouth, little Miss Guttermouth, you were saying?
Well, so, I mean, basically there's this impression that you can do, like, when you're making love to someone, there are little things you can do and they increase their pleasure a certain amount. You squeeze the nipple, you know, he moans a little harder. You
give them cash.
You fondle down there, he moans a little harder, things like that. So there's sort of this general kind of impression that certain things are popular.
Hmm. How do you reach their nipple through the glory hole?
Well, perhaps there's two smaller glory holes at chest level.
But actually, I mean, so I guess I met a number of men who were more or less liberated with their anal sexuality. So then I met a man who had sort of already experimented with cucumbers and
cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
With carrots, I
English
know.
English or like domestic?
And so we sort of talked about it and sort of talking about it like that, you know, I kind of had my inhibitions reduced a little and I, you know, tried out a little carrot at home too, just to sort of
like
see.
A baby carrot?
Well, the carrots are tapered, so.
True.
I have a desire which won't be fulfilled, but so I have never received anal sex. I'd like somebody to explain to me what it feels like, hopefully somebody with my heterosexual experiences.
Well,
and maybe somebody. Maybe
why does it matter?
Maybe somebody. Well, because I would like to.
Well, we have a.
Exactly. I was going to. I was going to suggest that somebody out there who knows this can call us and tell me.
Perhaps we'll have some luck.
Hello, caller. Thank you for calling in. Did you have some experiences you'd like to share with us?
Oh yes. Hello. This is very, very deep.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Deep. I'm calling all the way from your home land. I see.
Oh, I'm in the San Gabriel Valley now. Very good.
I recognize the accent, yes. California accent through and through. So, Mr. Deep, did you have a question or comment or concern to share with us here on Sex Talk?
Well, I would just like to say this is a very good topic, and I think one reason it's pleasurable to have, you know, things in the glory hole, as one of your DJs so eloquently put it, is that there are almost half as many nerve endings in the glory hole as in the penis.
Half as many?
That's what I've heard.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Certainly, like, you know, there
are
no...
That's an entire other sexual organ.
Well, okay, I want to do... First, a clarification for our listeners. When I used the term glory hole, I was using it in its traditional term, meaning it was in a bathroom stall, usually in a men's room, it's a place where men can insert their penises and other men can, like...
Anonymously service them.
I was not... Although the glory hole is a charming name for the anus.
Okay, well, I will say bunghole then.
I don't believe
is that allowed?
I don't know. I don't know if it's... yes, bunghole has been approved.
Very good.
So we'll call it the bunghole. And what was the second question?
I don't know.
Oh, well, the nerve ending thing is a little bit weak, too. I mean, yes, there are a lot of nerve endings in the anus, but there's also a lot of nerve endings, like, on the inner part of my eyelid, and it's extremely sensitive, and yet I'm not, like, you know, stroking that.
Right, but, I mean, there's obvious things about anatomy, right? And I don't know whether we want to jump to the prostate or whether we want to work our way up gently.
Gently.
Gently, yeah, with some lube, hopefully.
But, you know, the caller and Orlean have a point in that, you know, there are no strictly defined borders in your body, and that it's not like the nerve endings suddenly stop at the base of your penis and everything else is just dead tissue. You know, of course, things are going to be.
Oh, indeed, that's actually
spread
point.
Around.
And the caller being from, I assume, India, sort of more traditional culture, you know, more.
Maybe Pakistan
Indiana,
or Bangladesh,
Pakistan.
We should not insult.
You know, have you actually experimented with anal eroticism?
Oh, yes, indeed. It is very nice.
Good, good. In any kind of tantric manner, or are we talking.
Well, sometimes it's really slow and then very fast, but not explicitly tantric.
So are you? I hope you don't mind my asking, but are you heterosexual?
Yes, I'm heterosexual. I like only women.
And has your experimentation been self-experimentation, or have you had assistance?
Oh, both ways.
Okay. And how did you broach?
The more, the better.
How did you broach the subject?
Well, let's see. I guess we were just talking about what turns us on, and I mentioned that was something that I find very enjoyable.
Well, that's a pretty.
And then she said, "Well, okay, we try that."
So, were you all at all worried about bringing it up with your partner? Were you worried that she might think that you were dirty or that you were?
Oh no, she's very freaky too.
So this brings us to Juan's question of just describing the experience.
Oh, well, it's very good. I mean, what else is there to say? There's a feeling of great fullness and of great stimulation.
The thing that
Corey can, talk about that.
DJ Seiko,
I mean,
please.
Mr. DJ. You remind me of Corey Glover. He's so sexy.
Corey, is that somebody on the Steelers? Who's Corey Glover?
I don't know. Maybe Danny Glover's attractive younger brother. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. No, the lead singer from Living Color.
That is very sexy.
Interesting.
Oh, I forgot I'm strictly heterosexual.
So, I mean, if the caller will remain on the phone for a second, I do actually have a question. I mean, do you have an answer for Juan? Which, I mean, I think is, on one hand, I think, you can no more describe what an anal orgasm feels like than you can describe a beautiful sunset or, the birth of a child or the miracle of, an unspoiled virgin forest or, Christina Aguilera.
Glory hole.
Glory hole, right.
I have a question for Mr. DJ.
Just
hang on there.
Hang on. Okay. Slow down. Slow down, very, very deep. We're not, we're here. We're here. Yeah. This ain't. I don't know. I think you basically have to try it. And I think, maybe some men, I think you can tell if you're gonna like it. I mean, I think, if you, if you've ever masturbated and sort of caressed the sensitive, outer skin of your puckery anus and you found that sort of stimulating, then I bet you might be interested in going further. The thing that's sort of interesting and surprising and non-intuitive is that, I think once you have some kind of anal stimulation going on there, especially with an object like,
fist,
8-inch giant penis, or Cordell Stewart, or a carrot. I mean, actually, I have a comment. You have to be a little bit careful about, the standard sort of advice that we must give since we're a professional show is, don't insert any object that's likely to get lost.
Right.
You need something with a big, flared end. That you
right. And also an interesting piece of advice from my sister, who is a doctor, who has worked in emergency rooms and removed various things from people's butts, is that so the inside of your body is at 98 degrees, so basically it's a stove set on low. So if you get fruits or vegetables or whatever stuck up there, they in fact cook over a period of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be both good and bad. Bad in that it turns it...
What's the good part?
Well, the good part is it makes them soft and easier to get out on your own if you if you don't panic.
Yeah. On the other hand, they might break and remain inside. That's
right.
That's the fear that I often have when I think about this, actually.
However, things gradually come out, of the old.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good reason. Sometimes can be a little inhibiting to go into a sex shop, but if you actually just buy something like an anal plug.
You're holding your hands very wide apart, and I kind of wish our viewers at home could see the basketball-like circumference of the butt plug you're trying to describe. But butt plugs are good because they're tapered and they won't get stuck inside. And
right. So I mean, so two things, right? So I would experiment gingerly with your own fingers, which you're on.
I've done that. That's quite pleasurable. Yeah.
And then you might get the ultra tapered, super slim, butt plug from our affiliate store. One of our sponsors, The Outer Skin, mm-hmm. in Homestead, it has a wide, wide variety, and they will not mock you for buying. Sex toys.
And slowly work your way up to the Baron von Fugenstein model.
I must make my one final point, which is the surprising thing is once you've got, some serious anal stimulation going, I mean, I had my best sort of most mind-blowing kind of teeth-clenching, head-banging against the wall kind of orgasm as a result of anal stimulation. I mean, it's a little bit more, it's kind of annoying to sort of set it all up because It takes more, you know, it takes more effort than a quick J-O in the bathtub.
Right.
But the reward, you know, like in all things.
J-O?
So, masturbation.
So here's a question that
J-Lo, interesting.
J-O, interesting.
J-O, J-Lo.
So here's an associated question. I know we've discussed this before, but since we have so many listeners and our listener turnover is so high, perhaps they don't remember it. But clearly the I guess the biggest issue for any novice in anal play, especially in a couple setting, is the cleanliness issue, right? So, and that also, I imagine, is part of the setup you're talking about, that, you know, these things have to be cleaned or at least negotiated so your partner knows that it's okay to go down there.
I guess. I mean, I don't know if the – is the caller still on the phone?
Oh, yes.
I mean, I'm sort of opinionated in this area. I don't know if you wanted to jump in or not, because it depends. I mean, like
– you clearly, for an activity like, say, rimming, right?
Right. So for rimming, I mean, rimming, which I will define for our listeners as
– is this named after Martin Rim?
I think so.
Yeah. It is, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So,
because he, in fact – well,
or – well, I mean, I was thinking there's some connection to Trent Lott, too, which I can't call right now. But
yeah, that would be Trenting.
That would be a good one. Very tight sphincter right there. Yeah.
So, I mean, rimming, of course, is the licking and gentle biting and caressing.
Oh, around the rim, I see.
Of someone's
unwinking
penis.
Eye.
And, I mean, you know, that's just an issue of sort of basic hygiene. I mean, if you're – it depends, you know. I mean, I don't know. I prefer – I mean, it depends how you like your partners. I mean, I prefer a quick little shower before sex. And
so
you're nice and
when you were talking about preparation, I thought you meant what I'm always thinking about, which is this sphincter is such a powerful muscle that it needs to be powerfully relaxed for quite a long time.
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, I think with practice. So I should write a whole book on it. I mean,
yes.
I should tell you like the story of my anal odyssey, right? Because
please do.
Because at first, I found it. I mean, it's the thing.
Golden hindy. Sorry.
there is some physiological reason for this. I think there are a couple of rings of muscles in your anus. One, the outer ring is sort of consciously controllable, and I'm constricting my anus right now.
Exactly, me too. I was going to say.
And the inner ring is the one that controls and binds them.
Denting your belly button.
I'm not sure I know how to do that, but I'm trying. And so the inner one is sort of less under conscious control, and you have to do this kind of, like, zen-like relaxation thing to sort
mm-hmm.
of... And so I think you can sort of get better at that in a way that's not very easy to define. But so I think, you know, with practice, you sort of know, how to relax that muscle. And you also sort of know, like, when you're with a partner, I mean, I find, like, the initial insertion is sort of the key one. You take that one really relatively slowly, and then after that, it's just kind of like... You know, pound away.
I've read in actually in what was it? I think it might have Pat Calafia's now Patrick Calafia's Lesbian S&M Guide.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about Oprah's new magazine. O.
Well, it was actually a column in O about how to please your man anally. But it, in fact, Pat Calafia recommended, and I feel I should hedge my bets and say I don't know that this is good advice or not. But she actually recommended like getting good and drunk for your first time, like. Because alcohol is a well-known smooth
muscle relaxant, if there is one.
Right?
So, should we give the numbers in case somebody else wants to call?
I don't care. I resent our callers.
All right.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say.
If you're calling from India or like, is it Pakistan?
Los Angeles.
Country code 1, area code 412-621-9728. That's 621 WRCT, but only in America. I don't think like in other countries they have little.
I would like to make a few comments before you kick me off the air.
Please proceed.
First of all, I think like any other exercise is very important to warm up, and so you should not go for like Big Bertha model right away.
Mm.
You must make sure to limber up with say just a finger.
Excellent. That's
true. True.
And also I'm curious about the evolutionary background for why this is pleasurable. Does anyone have thoughts on that?
I hesitate. I mean, you know,
backwards reasoning of like evolutionary and biological reasons for things is very.
I mean, we don't have Stephen Jay Gould in the studio, so I'm a little bit embarrassed to like. Sort of, I mean, you know, it's probably some kind of. Lurleen, take it away.
Okay. Well, I mean, one obvious thing is that can we get to the prostate now? Can we go all the way?
Just to answer part of the very very deep question, like you know, not everything like, that exists in the human body has a reason. Like, a lot of it's just historical contingency, you know, accidents and so forth. So there may be...
This is a lot more fun than your appendix.
Right. You know, there may be no particularly good reason for it other than there's no evolutionary disadvantage to having the erotic butthole. And therefore, you know, they don't get selected against. But that was very unsexy. So back to you, Laureen.
Well, I was just going to say that I think, at least my understanding, say, of the G-spot in relation to the clitoris is that the G-spot kind of relates to the nerve endings that are at the base. And I'm wondering whether some part of the anal eroticism is coming because the far end of the penis where it's sort of inside the body is
so
close
this is
to...
This is a related question.
And actually, because, I mean, the position of the G-spot and the...
The prostate are the same, right?
The same. Reach in, up, forward, yeah.
I've never found the G-spot, but...
In, up, forward.
Yeah, yeah. I've tried. Yeah,
I've read guides and manuals on how to find it, but haven't...
I've seen plans, architectural drawings, all
3D renderings. The same, yeah. Or do you mean, like, same relative to where you start? Are they actually...
Oh, no, just relative, I mean, sort of, you know...
If you put your finger in a woman's, like, butthole... Can you, like, and your vagina at the same time? Can you meet
isn't
the
G-spot more on the forward region rather than...
Right, but so is the prostate.
No.
No, in the forward of the anus, but not in the forward of
okay,
the...
Okay, right. But, I mean, you sort of put them on the back, reach in, reach out.
You still make, like, a come-here gesture either way.
So this is actually a, you know, kind of a follow-up question to that in the obvious. Well, we're getting straying a bit, but... So I've heard from... So I've heard from multiple sources that they're, you know, women find anal sex, receiving anal sex, pleasurable too, and I'm wondering kind of what the basis of that is, since they don't have a prostate to be massaged. Clearly, there must be something else going on there too.
Well, is it true? I know some women like it, but it could just be because
it's transgressive.
Because exactly, yeah.
Well, I think that there's, I mean, again, the nerve endings around the outside of the anus, at least, are common to mm-hmm. be common to men and women, and so I'm sure that's some part of it. That the more places you stimulate, I mean.
Okay, well, I got a home in with my laser-like insight onto you, Lurleen. Have you experienced anal sex? Do you like it? What's it like for you?
So I've been the active participant.
Are you serious with a strap on and all that? Okay, let's put that aside for just a moment.
Okay, so no, I haven't actually been the recipient in anal sex. I've done the carrot thing, but I haven't.
Any hint that you would find it pleasurable? Like you said, the carrot thing, how'd that work for you? Do you like?
Yeah, carrot thing was interesting. I'm not sure alone, like anal sex alone would be sufficient for orgasm, so I think you'd want some kind of...
Reach around,
vaginal kind of.
But you have not experienced it. You just from the way it feels in general, you kind of know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about having two penises inserted simultaneously? One.
I think. I mean, no. I also haven't done that. I spoke to a friend who has.
We could arrange
really?
That.
And what did she say?
She said.
I volunteer.
I mean, it's a. I mean, part of the you know there's all this topology to organize.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds incredible.
Yeah, I mean.
Really? So there's more beyond just the Oreo.
Well, one of them has to be. They have to be at angles opposite. You cannot just put them both straight up.
And it also sounds like
the friend I know who did it. She was on one guy was lying on his back, and she was on top of him, and then the other guy was sort of coming from behind. But she seemed to view it more as a. You know, sort of sexual tourism in some sense, rather than you know something that she'd really want to be repeating all the time. And I mean, and actually, in that problem, the guy who was on the back end, she said, had as a downer that he had only one speed, which was very fast. So it was like pumper, 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 and it was all a little weird.
Should really come with gears.
Yeah. But yeah, so I can't say from personal experience of being on the receptive end, so I don't know.
Sorry, what? I was going to say, I am fascinated by this other thing you're talking about, which is you played the dominant role in some kind of play. Was that with anyone you know? The caller, perhaps? You don't know the caller?
No, I don't know the caller.
Oh, no, we do not know each other very much.
Oh, you're still here?
Wow.
Now, was there any sort of role play involved, or was it purely...
No, it was just, you know...
Do me, baby?
Yeah.
Hit me, baby, one more time?
Yeah.
Wait, there wasn't role play?
No.
If you're wearing a strap-on,
you have to admit, you do
to
feel
be a man
in
with
kind
a
of
penis.
In control. Yeah, it's. I mean, and actually, that's one of the kind of cool things about it.
I mean, so mentally, I mean, actually, that's one of the reasons I actually like it. I mean, it is very pleasurable, but I also do like sort of the submissive aspect of it. I mean, like, make me feel cheap and used and, you know, use me for your pleasure kind of thing.
Yeah, and actually, he said that was one of the things that he also really liked about it.
Really?
Yeah. That's exactly what I would imagine the pleasure was, not knowing anything. When I get past the fear of the sphincter breaking all sorts of limbs, I only think of the submission.
I mean, it's not just the psychological thing, and I would do it without the psychological thing, but I mean, that's just an aspect of my particular personality.
It's an extra chocolate syrup on top, as it were.
The self-loathing thing. were you wearing one of these special dildos that, like, transmitted the stimulations to your own?
Right, yeah. That's primitive the, they're really good. They come with, like, sort of a little vibrator.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. So I've had two different kinds. One actually had sort of the vibrator was kind of like a part of the phallus, making hand gestures here that you can't see.
Yeah, it was kind of rowdy.
Part of the phallus. And that one actually was kind of like one of those double-ended ones, it has a sort of insert. That was good, except the problem with that is that if you have to kind of keep your angle right.
Right.
And then the other one had this sort of cute little silver egg-shaped vibrator that sort of slots in like a little testicle at the bottom. and that doesn't come with
batteries.
The testicle vibrates, but then there's no sort of insertion part. You know, nothing.
Which did you prefer?
For the vagina. Well, the second one was kind of, I mean, other things about it were it fitted more comfortably and so on. But having something on the inside is also nice. So I've actually sort of used Bengua balls. To kind of get that sort of.
And so were either of these kind of handheld things, or were they both worn with harnesses?
No, they was with the harness, yeah. Because you need your hands to kind of.
I suppose so.
Guide it in.
And just spank him.
And spank him and ride. And so
who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
So you said there was no kind of fantasy play involved, but you have to at least, like, spank him a little bit and say, you know, stop crying, you silly little bitch.
Whatever. Well, there's a little bit going on in my head. You know,
Wow. Now you've painted a vivid word picture for us.
Yeah, no, but the bit of it that is that it really feels good to sort of be there and be mm-hmm. kind of, and the really interesting thing I found is that kind of most often in sort of penetration kind of sex, then there's not so much I can do to make it more pleasurable for me as sort of what my partner can do as far as sort of thrusting or angles or things like that. Whereas with this, it's really stuff I can do that makes it more pleasurable for me. Like I can adjust the angle and adjust the speed.
Do you have more than one speed?
I do. And sometimes then, you know, in this sort of powerful thing, I'm just sort of going for it, having a good time and, you know, don't give a damn how you feel, kind of my little sex slave. Yeah.
I mean, I have a question about length. I mean, I actually find I find the anal sex act to be pretty intense, so intense that I can't do it for very long without either wanting it to stop or wanting to have an orgasm. How long did this man last under your powerful thrusts? Was it like 3 hours, 5 minutes?
Oh, it's nowhere in hours. no, I have come faster than him, so. But I guess it's a big turn on, so that's maybe not so surprising. But how can you estimate time in a situation like that?
Oh, you know, standard
clocks.
Yeah, I don't.
Greenwich mean.
I have a CCM 53 head on.
Yeah.
Just like I have a system of mirrors.
Yeah.
Bounce light off the moon.
Yeah, no, but it's true that anything involving the prostate, because I mean, we haven't really talked about manual stimulation that much, but that, you know, it's very easy to make him come very fast.
Really?
Yeah, and actually, so he has said that.
Well, did you give him a reach around while you were?
Actually, if I do that, then bam.
Well, the thing that I find interesting is actually being penetrated while I'm lying on my back and having my partner on top of me if I'm a trashy little whore.
Yeah, so actually, we haven't done that. He's actually very interested in that.
The thing that's nice about that is that, you know, my penis gets just a little bit of contact with the other person's body, and then I don't need, you know, I can actually sort of have what seems like an anal orgasm.
Actually, one interesting thing for me was seeing the premiere of the American Queer as Folk show, and there's the scene where our main devilish guy, do we know the names of these characters?
That show's on our...
But anyway, the main devilish guy takes his virgin high school lad, and the scene is quite vivid, and I actually found it quite touching because I was sort of imagining myself in the role of...
Justin is his name. I forget what the older guy's name. We have a caller that I'm going to interrupt you. Hello, is the caller there?
Yes, I am DJ Cinco. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, welcome to the show.
I have two questions, one literary and one religious. They're both quick. I'll let you guys pick which one, which order you want to handle.
All right, we need a little more information.
Okay, I'll just do the religious one then. So, I live in Southern California, and the kids out here are always up to sort of wacky stuff, right? And I read both in the LA Times, and there was a report on Channel 4 about a new phenomenon that's sort of an outgrowth of this whole...
I'm sorry, Calder, we have to interrupt. We can barely hear you here. Is there any way you can speak louder?
I'm speaking fairly loud as it is.
We'll just concentrate really hard. So the kids in LA, they're taking E and with their rock music and tight pants.
Well, no, but so there's been this whole subculture of Christian foam parties, right?
Christian foam parties?
Yeah.
Phone, like in the telephone?
No, foam. I'm saying
foam isn't like the
like soap suds. You know, they fill the room with soap suds, and like this is a big rave thing. But if there's a whole Christian subculture of it out here.
Really?
Yeah.
Like bathing with Jesus.
No, no, you don't bathe. It's just slippery. Like, I mean, it's sort of a side point because spiritual foam parties, people are all whacked up on E, and in the Christian foam parties, they're not, you know.
Wow.
So this seems the point, but they're trying to be cool anyway. So.
Seems shockingly licentious for Christians.
Yeah.
Are they more like a Christian gravel party or Christian hair shirt party, right?
There are Christian, like, floor of tax, tail of tax party. I don't know. but the thing is that... Right, so especially with the Mormons, they can't have sex both before marriage.
Right.
There's nothing that prevents them from experimenting with sort of their asexuality.
Interesting.
And so I sort of don't believe this because this is the sort of thing the media would sensationalize. But there have been reports that there have been sort of these big Mormon parties, like limited to sort of, like relatively big groups, not huge, right, where actually, like, you know, sort of, sex isn't allowed, but men and women are there, and like, you know, little Brigham Young dildos, whatever, are passed around, and people sort of explore and have, you know, quasi-sexual experiences with them. I was wondering if you guys had heard this, or if you, had a comment on it. I know that in some cultures, right, where virginity is very important, women will sometimes have anal sex to satisfy the boyfriend.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's supposed to be true.
I was wondering if this was sort of a weird.
An Italian friend of mine swore that was true about Italian women.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he was pulling my leg. So, comments? Have any of you? I think you flabbergasted our studio, our panelists here. So, I'm trying to wrap my mind around the concept of Christian foam parties.
Right. I think I'm almost there, except what is the source of the foam? I mean, is the living room like filled floor-to-ceiling with foam? Or?
Wait a second. Good Lord. This is a sex talk show. We're talking about Mormon kids sticking dildos up their butts, and you want to talk about the phone?
We didn't say it was a particularly good sex talk show.
My fantasies won't be authentic until I understand what that is. I mean, is this like the sort of foam that comes out of, you know, it's like silly foam that comes out of an aerosol bottle you just, like, paint it on other people's bodies? Or do you have a giant, like, foam machine that's, like, filling the room?
You guys have never been to a foam party? It's like big soapy foam. They have machines that make it.
I've been to one. But really? not to a Christian one.
I think at some point I decided whether I would want to like finish my thesis or go to a lot of foam parties. And I came to that fork in my life. And
how could you have made that decision without having gone to at least one foam party?
Are we invited? Do you know?
Do you know of any?
Yeah.
I'll even take a Mormon one.
Come on down to California, and I'll get you in. I'll put you in foam over your head, man.
Wow.
Well, the thing is, they're sort of passé now, but not among the Christians because they're behind the times when it comes to their TV and YouTube culture. Although maybe not with the culture.
So I guess my first impression of kind of Christian anal sexuality would be that we probably heard wrong. This is probably false because I can't imagine, you know, religions which abjure masturbation. I mean, you know, over the clothes fondling and so forth being okay with, you know, a dildo up the fart pipe.
This is the thing. I think, according to the Book of Mormon, there's like a loophole. They don't talk about it. You know, it's just not sort of handled, right?
I guess you can't
put any of your sexual organs in contact with somebody else's.
Just as lesbianism is not mentioned in the Bible, and therefore, kind of loophole-wise, it's okay.
Yeah, and the ass even more so, I guess.
Wow. I think what we're going to have to do, because actually you've kind of stumped my personal set of my knowledge base, is I'm going to have to take that idea under advisement. I'm going to go home, look it up on the internet. I mean, is there like AskMormons.com? Is that like a site that I could go to?
I don't know. I poked around a little bit, but really, I just saw this on Channel 4. So.
Oh, was this on like, you know, Entertainment Tonight or?
No, it was local news.
Oh, well, what's in the news?
That's a little tasteless in front of camera tonight.
I didn't hear that, but... Wow. You really stunned us, caller.
I think maybe we should ask a caller a question. Yes. Are you heterosexual?
Yes.
So, what is your experience of anal sexuality been? Like, with your... In your personal experience?
You mean pitching or catching?
Either one. Although, let's try catching to begin with. Because that's nominally the topic.
My experience is somewhat limited. I guess it's I found it worthy of further experimentation. Although, you know, sadness of the man, the sort of guy that watches news stories about Christian film parties, so I don't get out a lot.
And then I guess let's go to pitching.
You're sort of so worried that you're gonna. I mean, with women, right? Sometimes you're sort of worried that you're gonna rip something up, and so, you know, I guess if you're not really you don't really know what you're doing. You're sort of a little over-tentative, you know?
You're over what? Over-tentative?
Does that mean you were so tentative you didn't get it in there?
What?
You were so tentative you didn't get it in there?
No, but you don't, I mean, like, you know, if you're a guy and you're used to having sex with women, right, you know that sometimes you can really, like, sort of unload and just, you know, go full speed. And you know that, you know, given all the membranes that can tear, that's probably not such a good idea.
So the woman, and we presume it was a woman that you were performing this on, like, and she found it pleasurable? What, did you find it pleasurable in itself, or was there, like, were you giving her a reach around, as it were?
Well, you know, I've been involved in a couple different circumstances. I think it was pleasurable in and of itself, and the reach around factor was more an issue of the woman's individual sexuality. Like, clearly, it didn't seem like that alone would bring an orgasm, but it certainly, you know, certainly, like, if they were hitchhiking the word orgasm, it was the equivalent of an 18-wheeler that took them across half the state, not all the way.
That's a great metaphor. I have to remember that one. Interesting, because we were discussing this earlier. We were discussing, like, whether women can...
Well, Lillian and I were discussing the question of, like, what would prompt a heterosexual couple to experiment along with you pitching... Right. Was there some? She was curious. You were curious.
I mean, it seemed there was an air of inevitability to it, as if, you know, something you were going to do sooner or later. It was another, like, you know, domino in the great long, you know, like domino chain to sexual exhaustion and boredom in any couple.
Oh, I know the feeling.
I mean, I have to ask, because I am so powerfully insightful, whether there's not some other element that you haven't revealed yet. I mean, because, you know. Anal sex is this sort of especially, I don't know, dominant thing, or especially, I mean, did you get any kind of thrill of really giving it to your partner, or really, you know, thinking, well, this is going to be great because it'll hurt her a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, of course that's in the back of your mind, but you don't actually, you know, if you actually do hurt them, then...
Well, right. No, I was just saying, you know, it's part of the fantasy, the consensual fantasy, you know, engine that you're both piloting. Was that part of what was going on?
No, I mean, there was no sort of explicit, there was no explicit role-playing. I shouldn't say that. There was some explicit, like, guerrilla role-playing, but it was the general guerrilla, not the, like, ravishing guerrilla.
So you were a silverback, and she was maybe a capuchin monkey? A Japanese snow monkey?
The size differential there doesn't work, right?
Maybe a Barbary ape, then.
Another gorilla, right? I mean, we weren't that, you know, we're not so in love with gorillas that we were that specific.
All right, caller, I'd like to ask you to stay on the line if you'd like, or
you're
just...
You're going to cut me off. Like,
if you've got foam to go to, we understand.
Like so many of my previous lovers, I just want you to disappear. Don't call back. But seriously, I want to actually have a few probing questions for Lurleen, and we have just a few remaining minutes. And so,
I understand. I've enjoyed the show.
So do either hang on or call back, or but I have to get to Lurleen. Lurleen, thank you very much.
Why would I call back? I'll just leave you alone.
Thank you for calling, though. We do appreciate it, some of us anyway.
So, I have two questions. First, I was struck by something that the caller just said, which is, you know, he's, like, worried. I mean, his Kleenex-like girlfriend, like, you know, he's worried that he's going to, like, damage her by having sex with her. I mean, I never heard this before. I never, like, when I have sex with somebody, I'm not like, oh, you know.
Don't harm the delicate bosom of my butt.
Exactly. Do you have that feeling of delicacy?
So I'm actually quite cautious. And what I found is that my partner has told me I'm excessively cautious and I needn't be so worried about it.
I guess you would know.
How would you?
So, I mean, there is the issue of sort of, you know, gently easing in.
Oh, you're cautious when you're the...
Penetrator. It's a new TV show starting next season.
So, for example, to me, it makes a difference whether the strap-on is tapered or not. And so the new one with the good functionality is quite fat at the end. And so that makes me a little more nervous. I'm a little more nervous starting with fingers, you know, a couple of fingers, a couple more fingers. As the giver, as the pitcher.
But when you're the receptor, do you have the same feeling of
trepidation?
Well, I haven't actually done.
Vaginal sex or anal sex.
Oh.
Well, you do have a.
I do have a vagina.
Cool.
Yeah, they're bigger.
I mean, it makes a big difference. For example, if you're sufficiently lubricated or not, and I would say the same thing applies to anal sex. And I mean, I guess we're all assuming that you're going to start with. I mean, I'm not sure how DJ.
Yeah, I pretty much require a lot of
right
lubrication.
So
this is actually a good point for me to jump in with a quick question of mine. I was going to ask, like, if you have any brand recommendations for our listening audience, since the two of you have both had experience.
Right. So actually, my favorite is this brand called Wet Stuff. It's Australian made. I went on a visit to Australia and got a very big tub of it.
Wet Stuff? I've seen stuff called Wet. Is that the same thing?
This is Wet Stuff. It's really good. It's precisely the texture of vaginal lubrication. So,
wow.
Yeah. Don't
tell me what it's made from.
So I've heard recommendations in the past for vaginal whale's sex
vaginas.
For Astroglide.
Uh-huh.
Is that the wrong texture for anal pleasure?
It's complicated because you'd think they would all be kind of the same, but they're all like subtly different. So, I mean, you can go to one of these adult stores and see 50 different brands. I happen to like the Falcon brand of lubricant. I mean, I actually do like, from the families of lubricants, I like the water-based lubricants better than I like, you know, like Vaseline or cocoa butter
water-based
or whatever.
Cause right.
I mean, even without putting the safe sex concerns aside, I just don't like. And the nice thing about the water-based lubricants is that they sort of clean up nicely afterwards. And, you know, Vaseline, you've got a slammy butt for like 2 days.
Like you just had a lot of olestra, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And so. So I don't know. My personal favorite is Falcon, but there's a number of variables, like how kind of slimy and stringy they are, and how long they last.
Right. So I've tried a few that I didn't like, and they're the kinds that say just add water to make them slippier and stuff, and those tend to get kind of sticky. And yeah, so I really am a big fan of Wet Stuff. But anyway, so as far as sort of being cautious about hurting someone, then in all cases I think you want sufficient lubrication, and now the vagina's well disposed in that it generates its own.
Makes its own sauce.
So assuming you're sufficiently interested or things are, you know, not concerned about your tax return.
What?
As far as sort of being nervous on the receiving end, vaginally, I certainly, you know, would sort of call a stop to things if there wasn't sufficient lubrication going on.
And I'd like to return, if I may, to this topic that came up earlier and wasn't really followed through on, which is sort of this, like, hygiene, dirtiness, cleanliness thing. And, you know, I have a whole kind of array of opinions on this. But you, being our special guest, I think you should comment on this. Like, did you and your boyfriend do anything special? I mean, you know, the way people react can be anywhere from, well, you know, being a little bit sort of poopy is just sort of a fact of life and we're not going to worry about it, or other people, you know, get very clean by douching or whatever.
Right. No, we've never done any douching.
But also you're vegetarians, you and your boyfriend, if I recall correctly.
Right.
Without giving away too much information. And so that actually makes a difference in terms of the quality of your excretion. I mean, it really does.
Yeah. So so the first sort of forays we had into that kind of thing was with sort of manual stimulation in sort of untoward circumstances, like moving cars.
In jail.
The paddy wagon. Offices, where, you know, we didn't have, you know, access to equipment. And actually, at that time, we were using saliva as a lubricant. And so then, you know, we weren't doing anything sort of special, and just sort of, I'd sort of washed my fingers off afterwards. You know, and it's true, you get a little kind of brown under the fingernail. and and so since I sometimes, again, manually.
You squicked our host.
Sometimes I'll use a glove. If I've got a cut on my hand.
Dr. Mira.
If I've got a cut on my hand and I don't want to, you know, risk any kind of infection or something. But yeah, so I mean, it's true. There's feces there, and you know, I put a condom on the strap on, but we don't do any kind of douching enema stuff.
Because you can, and I'm a
but
big.
We have talked about diet factors.
You can, right? Because I'm a big expert on this. I mean, through like increased fiber intake or eating a lot of broccoli or just kind of knowing, being in touch with how your bowel movements are going, you really can like have a totally squeaky clean experience. And having done this, I mean, multiple times, I've actually, you know, after insertion. You know, there are times, like, usually I'm so clean that, like, after insertion I can, like, perform oral sex on my partner and not worry about, like, eating my own feces. It's that clean.
Well, you've reduced it to a science, clearly.
Well, I have. I mean, and people should talk to me. I should write a book about this.
Can you talk to us about that now? Because, as you can say, this is – I mean, so I've apparently not squeaked by it.
I'd love to share this with listeners, but the callers come first. I want to get to this caller quickly, and then if there's time, I will reveal all my secrets.
Hello,
caller.
This is Jürgen.
Okay.
I would like two comments. One is that the most important thing for making sure you don't get infection is if you use fingers, for example, you must use gloves if you have any kind of cut or broken skin.
Mm, right.
If you don't, then, oh, well, no big deal. Otherwise, I'm interested in hearing your diet recommendations. That is all. Thank you.
All right. So this is the biggest secret. I mean, I think, you know, the thing people don't realize is because, you know, we live in a country of meat eaters is that, like, if you, like, eat beef and steak every day, it makes your kind of excretions kind of sticky and gross. I mean, let's face it.
Yes.
And so, you know, a vegetarian diet helps a lot. Knowing, I mean, like, certain things, I mean, like, broccoli is, like, the universal anal scrubber. And also, I mean, you know, experiment with, like...
You mean you eat it, right? Not...
Well, I eat it, and then it scrubs me as it...
Oh, okay. And I've been doing it all wrong all these years.
And the key, actually, for me, has been to have mostly a vegetarian diet and artificially add fiber by taking one of these fiber supplements. And you can take them on a daily basis, and people do. You can Metamucil or Citracel or one of these things.
Like my grandmother does.
Right. I mean, it makes you feel
makes
like...
Makes you,
you know,
think.
It makes you feel like an 80-year-old woman. But, you know, I take Citracel 3 times a day. Now, Citracel is actually slightly preferable. I like the texture better than Metamucil. But, you know, you can take them on a regular basis. You don't need to take them just for constipation. And I'm serious, you know, you could perform open heart surgery on my anus. It really is sort of that clean, you know, 90% of the time. And because of the other thing about this fiber treatment is that you kind of go more often. I mean, I probably visit, you know, the restroom twice a day now, probably, or 3 times a day. I don't know. It's a lot. I mean, so, like, I just think it just doesn't stay in your body as long, and it's not there, like, creating cancer in your lower colon and also just kind of waiting to trap that train partner. So that's my diet and Citracel. The solutions are...
It does sound like book material.
Simple and yet...
Maybe came up with
life-altering.
Yeah, and one thing I just wanted to stress, sort of, because I know we're getting to the end of the show, is my partner's told me that having, say, his penis stimulated and pressing on the prostate gives him the most amazing orgasm he's ever had. And I have heard the most heart-rending moans.
Well, I agree. I mean, ladies, you know, if you're not doing that for your boyfriend, you know, you're missing out on an entire world of experience. So I think we should close with a quote from
Hiroshi Barakiri.
Yes, from How to Goodbye Depression. If one has divorced or lost a big love, one will be given much stickiness by it. One will be given much stickiness by the bad relationship with a spouse or in the death of the spouse, too. Stickiness will make one's vortexes on the surface of one's body, the energy channels of one's internal organ, and the central energy pipe of one's body get stuck. That's How to Goodbye Depression, Hiroyuki Nishigaki, available at Amazon.com.
Beautiful book.
Thank you all for joining us. We're out of time, tragically. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Please tune in next week, Tuesday at 11, and visit us on the web, sextalk.wrct.org. Good night.